Then getting into reasonable care. Did our owner exercise reasonable care to reduce or eliminate the risk of harm? And this is where we get into many of the things that our past speakers from Crescent Real Estate were talking about. And we will get into a lot more detail as well. The cleaning policies that the building owner is using, reducing building contact points, sanitization stations, posted notices, including requirements for social distancing and wearing masks, and then also keeping up to date, updating policies for the building based upon evolving CDC guidelines. And these are evolving, and you do have to stay up to date on those. And then what I am most concerned about as well is new standards of care moving forward. It will be much easier for our current landlords to argue that they did not know what they were going to need to do in order to keep everyone safe, if that's the goal. But after this pandemic has come to a close, I think there will be a new standard of care that our landlords are going to have to be aware of. And the determination of what that standard of care is also evolving. And final point, the owner's failure to use such care proximately caused the plaintiff's injuries. And this one, I think, is going to be the issue that will be most interesting to see how it develops. The proximate causation, of course, we've got a virus that is actually the cause here. But of course, landlord does have the ability to limit the transmission of that virus in some ways. Contact tracing, our previous speakers also alluded to that, talking about the landlord getting notice and providing notice to tenants about potential infected persons that have been in the premises. I think that that is something that a lot of landlords are undertaking right now. And what I'm seeing too is the landlords are cautious in the amount of information that they're providing, but at a minimum are typically providing a date that the person was in the premises and a general location, maybe not a suite number, but a floor, and some other general information like that for the other tenants in the building. So getting into defenses for premises liability, I think one of the most interesting cases that may end up being pertinent to this particular issue is the fere naturae doctrine. And this is a common law defense limiting liability of property owners for injuries that are caused by animals of a wild nature or disposition. And we don't automatically think of viruses as animals of a wild nature. However, there was a 2016 Supreme Court case here in Texas, Union Pacific Railroad versus NAMI, where one of the railroad workers contracted West Nile virus at the job site due to a mosquito bite. And this case I find interesting because what it did say was that zoonotic diseases such as West Nile virus do apply to the fere naturae doctrine, and the common law does not require the owner or the possessor of land to anticipate the presence or guard against an invitee against the harm from wild animals. So I think that this has the potential applicability to coronavirus litigation to limit man's liability for the consequences of the natural world. Now getting to what most of us probably on this call at this point are focused on is our breach of contract, which in this case is breach of lease. What provisions are we focused on at this point when we are looking at our leases? Maintenance of common areas and maintenance of tenant premises. These are the provisions I'm focused on initially, and I'm looking at what the duties are for each of the parties over these areas. Typically, we have the tenant premises under the tenant's control and the maintenance of the premises under the tenant's obligations. And then, of course, landlord is typically responsible for maintenance of common areas and HVAC systems and MEP systems. So the standards for care in our leases obviously differ between leases, but usually we are seeing something related to maintaining in good condition or repair, or maintaining in a condition in keeping with the standards of other Class A office buildings of comparable age or size, something like that. I find the condition in keeping with standards of other Class A office buildings most interesting at this point, and you'll see similar provisions in retail leases as well, because our landlords are going to be looking at each other too to determine what everyone is doing to make sure that they are maintaining that similar standard.